Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, Susie. Hi, groomers. Hey, Susie, what's up?
Well, Barbara, you know what's up. It's the dreaded birthday week. It's the birthday week. Oh, my God. For both of us, the birthday week. Gosh. And welcome to episode 149. And hello, 149? We're really putting out some content. It's very impressive. Thanks, guys. Episode 149 of the Groom Pod on January 14th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. Episode 149 is sponsored by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco conditioning spray from long ago. Find them online and at your favorite distributors. This week on the Groom Pod, we are going to talk about grooming dogs with seizures, definition du jour about tension and the fulcrum, and talk about storing collars and leashes that belong to your clients. You can join the discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/groompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, or pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. Find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner, donation button, and Patreon button at www.thegroompod.com. Remember to share it with all your grooming buddies and support our sponsors, Best Shot, South Park, Evolution, and Amazon. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma.
Hey, I'm excited about the Stazco products. I have a feeling that there's a lot of our followers that don't know John Stazco. And it is so fabulous to have him back in the picture here.
Rediscovering his stuff has been a great fun.
Oh yeah, I have to say that, but before I go there, I just want to tell people a little bit about who John Stazco is for me.
Great idea.
Because when I went to my first trade shows and started being a speaker, and at the same time, I was selling shears to groomers on my, I guess it was just by email back then, and and one of the people I really looked up to was John Stazco, and he was like one of the first iconic men groomers in our industry.
Yeah, he was the first one I remember.
Yeah, he was a really great guy to talk to. He's easy to talk to. He really was was on our side, you know, and I felt that he was kind of a big shot that was on our side. You know, he really was for groomers. And of course, one of the things that appealed to me is that in some of his marketing of a seminar or, I don't know, something like that, he had like three or four Bichons at his feet. And that was right when I was falling in love with the breed myself.
Do you remember the picture in Groomer to Groomer? The advertisement for, I think it might have been his ad, with all the Bichons around him and him standing there. I swear it was like a burgundy polyester outfit. It was fabulous. The dogs were just immaculately groomed. I so remember that picture.
Yeah. He really was a great presence for quite a while, and then he disappeared. And we don't need to go into that, but welcome back, John Stazco. It's just so, his products were special from out the gate, you know.
It's true.
Yeah, and there's a lot of buzz for several years. There's a lot of buzz about his detangling spray, and people just loved his fragrance and the way his products performed. And we got to using them this week, and I'll say the bather loves them.
Here's my story.
Yeah.
I recall him most as one of the very first people to offer education on a traveling basis in the industry, period. Mm-hmm. He and Marlene. I bet they were brought by Barclay, but way when Barclay was just starting out, and they came to our, of all places, horse racing track. And they set up out there, and me and a couple groomer friends went out for our very first educational experience in grooming, because I was taught by apprenticeship, basically. I worked one-on-one with another groomer. So this was my first opportunity to see someone who wasn't the person that I learned from groom a dog right in front of my eyes. And between he and Marlene, they became just superstars, untouchable superstars in my eyes. They were the famous groomers that came through and taught us stuff. And now I are one. That's just an aside. So what I remember is he was so generous with his time and stopping to talk. And he had a great teaching style, and he had just amazing, innovative written material that he sold, if I remember correctly, about pricing and work structure and things like that, that was really revolutionary in the beginning. And I loved his spray. I really loved his spray. So when the opportunity came to have him on to sponsor a few shows, I thought, what the heck? Let's see what it's like. Here he is back again. And I am so impressed with the products myself. I can't tell you how happy I am with them. I've been mostly using the All Breed and the spray and the conditioner. I've been using, very timely. I'm out of conditioner. I can't get down to Cascade Grooming Supply. And in comes this box of magical shampoo from John Stasco. And in it is some conditioner. And so I've been using it for all of my dogs. Boy, I like it. It rinses right off. It's lightweight. I'm excited about using the products. I'm excited about having one of the mentors of the industry back in our world, in our world.
Yeah, we're very much loving the products ourselves. You know, I subject the products that I'm trying out to what I call the blind bather. the blind bather test, right? I think I've mentioned this before, but I've found the name for it now. In the blind bather test, you get your bather to use the products for several dogs and without telling them hardly anything about the products. And then you just wait to see what you overhear coming from the other room. It's very scientific, and she doesn't know what's up. She doesn't know whether I, you know, what kind of bias I might have here or there. And she's a little reluctant to try new stuff. So it's gotta go over the hump to even get used a second time. But she was literally singing the praises of these products all day yesterday. And then something I hadn't heard of before. Do we have more of this?
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, she asked, do we have more of this?
Was it the All Breed, the oatmeal?
I haven't used the oatmeal yet. I have to get off my head to go to the oatmeal thing. But what I noticed about Stasco's oatmeal is that it's got silk proteins as well as hydrolyzed oat. So
that jumped right out at me, too. See, I'm learning. Yeah. I'm learning.
Oh, you're doing real well. You're just...
Can you see me responding occasionally? Am I getting points for those?
You're getting points because, no, I think that you're really grasping the ingredient maze.
Yes, it's fun.
Once it starts coming together for you, isn't it fun to be able to have that other level, next level of understanding about our products? I love what I know about shampoos and stuff and being able to apply them. And I'm going to use the oatmeal shampoo next week. Try it on a lot of dogs. And then, you know, like the one thing that I say about trying out new shampoos is don't try to hold off and wait for the perfect moment, you know, to try it. Yeah, I've done that. And the perfect moment doesn't ever come.
Okay, so I've been doing that. So I'll stop.
Yeah, no, the way to do is to use it a lot on a lot of different things. So then you can find if there are any red flags, like gums up the coat or overly softens the coat or whatever, you can learn that right away instead of trying to pick where you think it's going to be a perfect match.
What a great tip. That's a great tip, Barbara. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, cool. Well, you can find the Stazco products at local distributors. You can search for them online. They're everywhere. They're coming out everywhere. The only thing I will say is they don't have the ingredients on the bottle, not a complete list, but you can get the list from him. He gave it to us really easily. He knows that we're proponents of that. He's all on board for that. So there's a little bit of labeling issue, but we'll get past it. He's willing to, you know, accommodate the Groom Pod motto, always know what's in our shampoos. So yeah, there you go. Speaking of interesting things that I don't know, not much went on in my week. What went on in your week? Anything you want to talk about?
You know, every time you ask me that, I draw the biggest blank. It's okay. Just like, it's like, what kind of a life do I lead that I can't even remember on Sunday what the week was like.
Okay, so here's the thing. Aside from a political topic, have you ever seen a topic so blow up on Facebook as the cat with the toxicity to the essential oils?
It, you know, like this is, Susie, this is why I have always been really almost afraid to jump into the conversation about aromatherapy and essential oils, even though it's something I've spent a lot of time in a part of my life dealing with, learning about. It's so divisive. It's, you know, it's really like Republicans and Democrats, you know, it's they, you know, like it, you're either on one side or the other. And then there's all this bashing and nobody, you know, like it's real. There's no science. How, you know, like how many cats would have to die in order to determine if essential oils killed cats or were toxic to cats? You know, that, you know, like the only way to be sure of that, because cats are so unique, you would have to test on cats.
This becomes a topic for me because I have the pet grooming side of my Facebook page, which is like three quarters of it, right? And then I have this wedge that's like about one quarter that belongs to my veterinary friends, my vet friends. You know, this topic is running rampant with them. It made it through my friends, right? It's come up in my friends group of feed. It's come up in my pet group of feed. And now it's come up in my vet group of feeds. So that's how pervasive it is. And there's, you know, I've got lots of friends in there and it's interesting to read their opinions on it. I mean, it once again, they are as varied as we are. So fascinating, but I think more fascinated by how fast that one blew up. I mean, wow, that went nuts in like 24 hours. Just crazy.
Right.
So that was popping up consistently in my feed. So I thought that was interesting. And we got a massive contribution on Patreon.
Oh, we did? Well, yes. Hallelujah.
And I just wanted to remind everybody how Patreon works. So it's a subscription to send us basically a tip every month. You can choose the amount of the tip. And in this case, the person who is Megan Sanchez gave us a whopping $25 a month. I'm hoping woohoo! I'm hoping she knows it's $25 a month. But the cool thing about Patreon is if she didn't know it was $25 a month and just thought she was giving us $25, she can run over to Patreon and cancel it and not have to go any farther. But if she really did mean to give us $25 a month, thank you. That is so awesome. That helps so much. So I'm going to go to the bigger bandwidth. I've decided we're going to bump up everything. We're going to go to the pro level, which gives me better statistics. It gives us unlimited storage. It's really a cool deal. Plus, we get all kinds of assistance with websites and things like that that I might be able to take advantage of. And it hooked us up with Patreon. So thank you so much, Megan Sanchez. And if you guys are interested, you can go to the website and click on the Patreon button and it'll tell you all about it. And you can learn. I lost a good dog this week.
Oh, no.
One of my Bichons.
Oh.
14.
Who was it?
The lady who takes me on the cruises.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one.
And it was okay. He's 14. And up until 2 months ago, he was Mojo. But when I showed up to groom him 2 months ago, I looked at him and I thought, all of a sudden, he looked old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas the month before, not really. Well, apparently something went on with his gallbladder and it was shutting down his gallbladder and kind of it happened pretty quickly. So we didn't have to watch him get old and suffer. He just got old for 2 months and then we decided not to put him through a surgery at that age. I guess he was 15. So that's a bummer. But she has another dog. It's a Chihuahua. But it looks like a fox terrier. Actually, a large fox terrier. We're not exactly sure what happened. There are two dogs that came out of the litter big, and the rest of them came out of the litter Chihuahua size. It's very weird. So she still has Taco, which in general, for practical purposes, wouldn't be worth me going over there to groom because it would be too expensive to wash a dog with no hair. But I will always go over and groom her dog. You know, she's a friend, but I couldn't get over to, she called me when she was putting Mojo to sleep and I couldn't get there because I was way in the other part of town. I wanted to be there with her. She didn't really have a lot of family, but she was able to find one of her other friends to go over and sit with her when it happened. So he didn't suffer. You know, we took him in and took care of it and released him to get his wings and never easy.
No, it never is. No.
Nope. Let's hear from Best Shot. And then we're going to go to our first appointment, which is about dogs that have seizures. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner. And what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from. But if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. While working in a vet hospital, I was exposed to a lot of dogs with seizures because it was often the place you decide to have your dog groomed once you know they have seizures. Have you ever owned a dog with seizures?
No, but I've groomed dogs with seizures.
Yeah, because we have to groom dogs with seizures because there's a lot of dogs with seizures. More than you would know because why? Because it's asymptomatic most of the time. That was last week's veterinary vocabulary word, right?
Right.
This week's veterinary vocabulary word, I'm throwing it in early here, is seizure. Surprise, right? The definition, there we go.
Try to get the words out, Susie.
The definition of seizure is a temporary involuntary disturbance of normal brain function that is usually accompanied by uncontrollable muscle activity. Epilepsy is used to describe repeated episodes of seizure. With epilepsy, seizures can be single or may occur in clusters, and they can be infrequent and unpredictable or may occur at regular intervals. So seizures often occur at times in changing brain activity, such as during excitement or feeding, when the dog is falling asleep or waking up. And affected dogs can appear completely normal in between seizures. So that's where we come in, because we are overstimulating in every possible sense these dogs. And if they're going to have a seizure, it's likely to happen at our shop at one point or another. You've had it happen. I know I have.
Yeah, I've had it happen, but just a few times. I mean, and that's for 40 years of having my shop, maybe five times, you know, like. And interestingly, that was in the earlier days when I had more noise going on, more drier noise, especially. Because I was using a Demco box dryers attached to cages, and those things were loud. I think noise is a real trigger.
I think so too. Noise, yeah. Combined with stress or overexcitement, mm-hmm. And bingo, the brain misfires. And you know, it's common, more common in certain breeds than others. So it's common in Border Collies, Australian Shepherds, Labs, Beagles, Tavarans, Collies, Shelties, and German Shepherds. There's a lot of herding dogs in there.
Yeah,
I thought that was an interesting fact. Any dog can have them, though. I mean, any
dog
can have
them. I lied when I told you I didn't have a dog with seizures. I apologize, because Belle came to me as a seizure dog. And she had major seizure at the groomers, who was the person who was rehoming her. Oh. So in other words, my friend took the dog for rehome, and before I could get up there, she had this big seizure. And then when the owner was questioned, she would say, oh yeah, she used to have those. The vet said she'd outgrow them. She was on phenobarbital for 2 years, and then I decided maybe to try to see if she really needed that anymore, because we didn't have any hint of seizures. She had one seizure with me when she first came, and then nothing. So I very gradually withdrew her from her phenobarbital, and she never has had a seizure.
Well, things that can cause seizures are like unhappy kidney and liver. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not getting a really good diet, if you mm-hmm. get the dog on a good diet, sometimes, you know, that can straighten some of that stuff out. Also reduce the stress. And the deal is that it can be treated, but they can't cure it. And the treatments are getting better and better. And if you throw in CBD treatment for seizures, they are much better now. And so we don't see it in the shop nearly as much, because the animals are much more treated. They used to not treat your seizure dog. You know, it used to just become an outdoor dog because it would have a seizure and whiz on the floor. But today, it's perfectly manageable. Some of the heavier drugs, though, do change the dog's personality and the neighbor's personality. My neighbor has, she has to be on a phenobarbital type of a drug, and she hates it. It's like a handcuff in pill form. It makes me feel like I'm wearing ankle weights, but she doesn't have seizures with it. So, you know, good for that. So I think that's part of why we don't see it as often as we used to. What does a seizure look like? I mean, we know kind of what it looks like. We know what the scary part of a seizure looks like, but it actually has three different and distinct parts. A seizure, or they call it an ictal, I-C-T-A-L, the pre-ictal phase, or the aura phase. The dog can be nervous, whining, shaking, drooling, and restless because it feels like something isn't right. Sometimes they'll back up into the corner. Sometimes they'll just not stop moving. You can just tell that they're anxious and shifting back and forth. So in the pre-ictal phase, that's when the seizure dogs can sense it in a human.
Mm-hmm.
before it actually goes into being a full-blown seizure, mm-hmm. the seizure dog senses the aura or whatever electrical charges are happening, and the person can lay down. That's why those seizure dogs are so amazing. They're just amazing. Anyway, during the actual seizure portion, the first part of it, during the actual seizure portion of it, the ictal portion, they can go anywhere from just staring to complete loss of consciousness and convulsing or contractions. So if they go into spastic and erratic muscle contractions, sometimes their back in their head will extend up. Have you ever seen that happen?
No.
See, these are things that I see at the vet hospital that I know that most groomers haven't seen. But if you get a dog like this, this is common seizure behavior. All the muscles in the back tighten up and the dog's back arches and the head goes back and the feet extend. Sometimes they even paddle like this in the air, like they're swimming dog paddle in the water.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Oftentimes, if it's that much of a spasm kind of a thing, then they'll pee or lose their bowels. You know, that happens. And that's not necessarily an emergency situation. Unfortunately, seizures are going to happen to these dogs. When they're medicated, it happens less. But in that case, right there, just the contractions, if it's over before 5 minutes, if it just takes like a minute or a couple minutes and it's done, that is not a medical emergency, but we need to treat it. So anyway, we'll move on to that in a minute. If it goes more than 5 minutes, or if there are multiple seizures, like the dog stops seizing and then seizes again, that absolutely positively is an emergency. Run to the vet, stop everything, put the dogs away, lock the door and go. Call the owner on the way, get that dog to the vet immediately. The temperature is going to already have started to spike. So that's where your emergency is. So a dog seizing in the cage, on the table, if it's shorter than 5 minutes, that's okay. Just we have procedures to do when that happens, but know that that is not the life or death emergency. The longer than 5 minutes or the multiple seizure situation, those are life and death situations. You need to get to a vet hospital immediately with that kind of a thing. I have never seen that happen. I've been very lucky, even in the vet hospital, to never see a dog seizure for more than just a couple minutes at the most, maybe even 30 seconds, you know, and then they kind of pop out of it. So in the third stage, after they pop out of it, there's confusion, disorientation, sometimes drooling, pacing, restlessness. They don't really know what went on. There can even be, get this, temporary blindness. I never knew that.
And there can be aggression.
Oh, yes, because they're confused.
Because they're confused. And I had that happen. It was a Cocker Spaniel that he's had. I think he probably had about 4 seizures at my grooming shop over a period of time. And at the end, he would come out of it and then he would just attack me. I mean, I would have to get help. He got really nasty, and so I had to stop doing him. It wasn't his fault. It was that I was associated with this immense confusion and feeling of weakness and everything, the dog was just reasserting himself and getting rid of the nearest suspect, you know. So
yep, they don't know what happened.
They don't know what happened. And in this case, this dog took it quite personally. So anyway, what else do we need to know?
Well, interestingly enough, the after effect, like the reaction that happens after the seizure, has zero relation to the severity of the seizure. So you can have what they call a focal point seizure, where the dog just freezes in place and seems like they're not here in the real world anymore for a little while. And then a few minutes later, they come back out of it and then they go blind. You know, there's no relation between the two. It's all so neurological and electrical, and in the chemistry of the mind is so wacky in this case and misfiring that you have to kind of watch for these things. Mm-hmm. So what we do depends on whether we know about the seizure disorder in advance. And this is a point to talk about. It's hard to remember, but with older dogs, I generally ask if they have any skin issues or if they have any seizures. Those are two questions that come up for me. Arthritis I might throw in there as well. But because if the owner knows about the seizures, but the seizures are well taken care of, and you don't know about the seizures, then you're going to react completely different than if the lady says, this dog has seizures. She's had them at the groomer before. We know about it. Go ahead. And they're not severe generally. If they're severe, let me know. But if it's not severe, you can go ahead and finish the groom afterwards. But I always call the owner. So how do you feel about what you do when you get the dog with a seizure? I may have a different opinion because I have so much more vet experience.
I don't stop everything, you know, because the dog has a seizure, unless there's a sense that the dog is extremely ancient and on the way out.
Right.
happen, you don't get to do that on my table. You will go home and lay down in your bed. No, maybe because I learned to groom in a kennel situation, and we had had seizures with boarding dogs, and you know, and my boss was very knowledgeable and pretty much educated me as his bather that it was not a big deal if it was a what you call just a simple grand mal seizure. My experience has been that they almost always pee and poo right after the seizure, you know, so there's a cleanup.
Yeah. Clean up on aisle 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they're actually having the seizure, it helps if you can turn the lights out sometimes and turn the dryers off, turn everything that's really overstimulating off. If you can, sometimes you can't. If you can not turn stuff off, you could remove the dog into the bathroom and put towels on the floor. And you want to make sure that they can't fall off of a table, and you want to make sure that they can't hit a table leg or the wall or anything like that with their head. But otherwise, you just got to kind of let it happen. You don't want to put your hand in there because especially, like Barbara said, they can be so disoriented that they'll just turn and attack you. And just kind of let it happen. And then afterwards, make a note of it on the card so that you know in the future that the dog has a seizure disorder. Talk to the owner about it. They probably knew and didn't tell you. Or if they told you, you just let them know that that's what happened. Because after the seizure is over and after that last part of the seizure is over where they're disoriented, they're going to be really tired. Get that grooming done, send them home. They're going to sleep for an extra day. They're going to be a little out of sorts. They might not eat, but the owners should know that. That's not our problem. Our only problem is what to do when they're in our shop. Is there anything that I didn't cover that you think I needed to cover?
No, I think you covered it quite thoroughly. I have had my worst seizure situation. Now I'm having seizure memories.
That's what happens.
Thanks a lot, Susie. No, the worst one. This is a little bit interesting because I this dog didn't even make it to the back room to be groomed. So two times it was a Keys Hound. Two times they brought him to be groomed, and he took like 5 steps in my door and had a seizure.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
That's some bad wiring.
And this was back in the days when I was very holistic.
Ah, yes.
I was very holistic. And so was it my establishment or was it the dog, right?
Right.
Well, I think it was a combination because this is very interesting. I was all on my high horse because I was using natural orange oil cleaners up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? You're right.
Isn't that? And so I was all, well, you know, I don't have any chemical. I'm not using any chemicals up here. We're using this natural orange stuff. And now I understand by my knowledge of essential oils that the amount of delimonene in those cleaning products might have. I mean, and I had cleaned up in the morning before I opened, you know.
Sure. So,
I don't know. It happened twice. But I did hear that it happened going to the vet. And so it wasn't just my place.
Right.
But
it's overstimulation. But
it's overstimulation. Yeah.
It could have contributed to it.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
I raised the question, and I sure, I sure got off my high horse on the natural products after a while, because there's a whole different mindset where you get in, where you just think nothing can happen because you're using this stuff. Well, that's not necessarily so.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah. So sidebar, people.
Sidebar. Right? Another sidebar that I meant to ask about. Did you read the post on Facebook about the shampoo that separated?
No.
Read that. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, I want that.
Okay. Yeah, I knew you would. I tagged you on it. If I need to tag you again, it's on the Facebook Groom Pod. Just scroll down on that Groom Pod.
Okay. Feed. All right. I'll find it.
There's a couple in there I tagged you on. I think you got to one, but I didn't see you get to that one. So, okay, cool. Well, that wraps up seizures. Here comes a break, and then it's back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Well, we did the veterinary vocabulary already, so let's move on to the grooming glossary. The grooming glossary today is variety. Variety as it applies to the dog breeds. And do you know what the variety denotes?
What the variety? Well,
what is the variety? What do they mean by the variety of the breed?
It can be color.
Yeah.
And it can be coat.
Yes. And one more.
Size.
Yes. This is why you're my mentor. You are so on the nose. You're right. It is the variation within the breed is the variety. So I thought that was interesting. And they use the dachshund and the poodle and, you know, the coat and the color and the, yeah, really neat. Good job, Barbara.
I'm so happy to have passed.
You never cease to amaze me. Okay, well, speaking of amazing, definition du jour time.
All right, my turn.
Your turn.
So I just want to discuss a couple of concepts and terms that are related to scissors and shears. And so, in fact, that's one right there. What's the difference between scissors and shears?
Yes. Is there a difference? Because I kind of use them all interchangeably.
You know, we do tend to kind of use them interchangeably. At one point, anything over 6.5 inches was a shear, and anything under 6.5 inches was a scissor.
Oh.
But I think that distinction has kind of faded. But you see, shears in the beginning were huge, like hedge trimmer shears, right?
I always think of my mom. My mom was a seamstress, and she had pinking shears. And that's right. What I remember, the first use of shears, walking down memory lane there.
Yeah, and I tend to use scissors more than the term scissors more than shears. It's just somehow, I don't know. See, I have in my mind that shears are big clunky things.
Okay, you know? So here's my dyslexia at play. I can spell shears better than I can spell scissors. So I say scissors, but write shears. I have a problem spelling.
That's Susie Scott, people. There you have it.
That's
so,
me.
Okay, so now I want to use another term. Let's talk about scissor or shears tension.
Okay.
Okay, so tension is the amount of resistance that the two blades have to opening and closing, right? So that's right. The tension. What makes shears cut is that the blades have some tension on by which they, there was no tension between the two blades, the blades would just, the hair would just slip through, right? And so the tension of the scissors or shears is related to the amount of force that it takes to open and close them. And some groomers try to loosen that. And I've even heard groomers say, I like my shears real sloppy.
I've heard that too.
And, you know, I don't get it, because if there's no tension and it's totally sloppy, you're not going to have as much cutting going on.
Well, then you have to be the tension with your hand, and that's bad.
And that's bad. And so these thumb screw scissor doohickeys, that you can adjust yourself without thinking about it, they're kind of dangerous, because groomers sometimes, because they want to get a faster action.
The thumb screw. I get it.
The tension adjustment. See, that's it. The thumb screw. So you need to have just enough. If you can take your scissors by one handle and drop the thing, and it'll open up all the way, it's too loose.
Too sloppy.
Too sloppy. And probably, and likewise, I mean, you should be able to flick it and it just opens to a nice V shape, right?
But not falls completely open.
But not falls completely open.
I get it.
Yeah. And that indicates there's good tension on the blades that they're going to be cutting. And you don't want it too tight, or it will make you work too hard. So there's just a certain point you have to find it. And the first thing to do is to trust the manufacturer first.
Okay. Well, here's a funny thought. I remember when I first started, the scissors didn't have the thumb adjustment thing. They weren't letting you go anywhere near the tension of those shears or scissors. You had to send them to the guy, and they had to do it themselves and then give them back to you. There was no little personal adjustment on those till more recently.
Well, and then Arius Eichert, whom I used to sell their scissors and shears, they started having a screw, a tension screw that you could use with a dime.
Okay.
So you could do it that way, but that still required a certain degree of consciousness.
Yeah, you couldn't just go in willy-nilly and turn that screw.
Nowadays you can turn that screw just like in nervous behavior, you know? So, the thing about scissor tension is that it is the actual mechanical physics of the scissors. So if there's no tension, you're going to have really poor cutting, and the scissor is going to fold the hair.
What happens with too much tension? Does it bend the blade?
I would think that it would be harder on the edges.
And it would certainly be much harder on your hands.
And it's mostly, it'd be much harder on your hands. So here's another aspect of scissoring and another term that I want to throw out there. Fulcrum.
What is fulcrum? You threw that out to me on text and I thought, I'm going to look it up. And then I thought, no, I'm going to learn from the master herself.
Okay, that's because fulcrum, which is spelled F-U-L-C-R-U-M, is, it has to do, again, with physics. And it has to do with the establishing the right leverage on a system. So the fulcrum, and fulcrum is also applied to the gripping of the sticks in percussion. It's called the fulcrum. So when I was learning to play drums with sticks, my teacher would always say, if you held the sticks too tight, you couldn't get the right kind of bounce and everything.
I know what that's like.
Yeah, if you held them too loose, they're going to fly out of your hand. So you have to find the right fulcrum that's just the right amount of tension to between your thumb and your finger to hold your drumsticks. Well, the fulcrum on the scissors is how you hold the scissors with just enough of a grip to get a nice even scissoring. So if you're too loose, scissors are going to kind of bounce around, right? And if you're holding them too tight, you're going to be doing a lot of damage to your hand. Now, here's the thing about fulcrum and the swivel thumb scissors. I lose my fulcrum when I try to do straight point down scissoring. Okay. With the swivel. So I'm going to be working on that next week.
Okay, Chris, there you go. We're wondering what it is. It's the fulcrum, the loss of fulcrum, because she's going to listen to this Friday at like 2 a.m.
but I want to say, I mean, since we are now impugning a sponsor.
Yes.
Which I'm not doing. I'm impugning myself because I just can't seem to hang on to that fulcrum when I'm holding my swivel shears point down. I want to say that my general use of the swivel shear is much improved with another week of keeping them. I mean, I actually making myself use them some every day. Yesterday, I did a whole doodle, hand-scissored with the Evolution chunkers.
Once they're in your hand in the right spot and you get the right grip, oh, they're like butter. They're really nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
And the other thing that's helping me is that I did get one of my Arias Eichert 8-inch swivel scissors going so that it's, and I discovered that it's really easier to master with on the other kind, not a chunker. Okay.
And I found that even better, the curves were easier than the straights. It's undeniable. The curves are easier for me to use than the straights are. But I too am forcing myself to not put them down, to keep using them. And they're getting better and better. And I'm finding them to fit into my arsenal really nicely.
Yeah, I enjoyed scissoring with them a lot this week. So there you go.
Cool.
You need both fulcrum and proper shear tension to get good cutting.
If you're interested in getting some Evolution shears or at least talking to Chris about them, the phone number is 877-560-3057 and it's evolutionshears.com. And remember to tell Chris that the Groom Pod sent you. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Over to our At the Table segment, which is, what do you do with a client's leashes and collars so that you don't lose them or don't send them home on another dog or whatever.
So listen, I've been there, done that. Been organized, been disorganized. And I will say that one of the most stressful things is to come to the end of a day and have the last dog and you can't find the fucking collar.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I've had customers make me look in the trash in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, God, it becomes such an issue sometimes.
Sometimes. There's also the dreaded put the dog in the cage or the run or the crate. Put the leash on the grill or the bars of the run of the crate and come back later and just see the clip hanging there.
Did I tell you about the lab mix that ate its leash and I had to tell the woman? You know, this was a cheap leash. I'll describe it to you. This was a leash that was like black and white rope thing from Kmart.
Right.
It was probably $5 at the most. So the dog, you know, like, okay, so it's really, you really got to know your dog before you put the leash on it in the cage. And we just let it slip. And this dog just mangled that leash. And so I give her the dog. She comes and pick up the dog and say, well, I'm so sorry to tell you that your dog ate the leash. And here I show it to her. And I said, but I have, and I had retail leashes.
Right.
I said, I have some leashes over here. Let's see if there's something that will replace this, you know. So I head over to my nylon leashes. And meanwhile, she goes a step or two past me to the leather leashes.
Of course she does.
And she chooses this. I had some of these really good quality leather. They're braided at the handle and at the snap.
I've seen those. Those are nice.
These were nice. So she picks one of those. The 6-foot leash, she had this 4-foot piece of crap rope on the dog. She says, holding the braided leather leash, my husband would accept nothing less than this one.
Oh my gosh.
My husband would accept nothing less than this one.
Right. Unlike the dollar store leash you brought in with you.
Right.
So I just
went with the flow. I said, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, like, it's whatever. And then next time she came in, her price was $5 more. And I got $5 more every 2 months for 5 more years.
I guess you paid for the lease.
I didn't cry about it. I didn't know that. I just put $5 on it. Next time, bam, we just went off. And she paid, you know, 50 times for that leash.
Well, I am so appreciative that I am in an 8x10 trailer where nothing can get lost. I mean, I could suck it into the shop back, and I've done that and had to dump the shop back out, but I know it's gone, right? Because I only have one dog. So I put its leash and collar in one spot. When I'm done, it goes back on the dog, and I've only very rarely forgotten it. But when we were in the vet hospital, we had 2 different rooms full of dog runs that I could put the big dogs in. And sometimes they would get moved by the kennel people and they wouldn't move the leashes and it would get really confusing. And not to say that I am crafty, but for people who are crafty, there are really neat ways to put like coat hanger hooks on a chalkboard and hang the hooks. And then you can write the dog's name on the chalkboard and hang the collar and leash right underneath it. And then you're not at risk of having it destroyed by the dog.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I've seen shops where there's whiteboard and they not only have, it's a whole flow chart that shows where the dog is. You know, we used to work with a flow chart at the kennel and we had a chart and there was, it was when we did all the clipper and brushwork before the bath.
Right.
Back in the dark ages, there was a column for the pre-bath. There was a column for the bath. There was a column for the finish. And there was a note at what time he had to be done. And we would just check them off so that you would know if somebody wanted to know where Popeye was, you could just see on the chart where he was. And there would be a hook at the bottom with the dog's name. But I do have a rack. But what has happened, as in my entire life, is that
Susie laughs.
Susie knows. If you give me a table, I will have three layers of shit on that table within 2 weeks. I mean, I can do that. And so, of course, I have a nice row of hooks where I can hook. And there's 10 of my leashes. There's an apron. There's somebody's sweatshirt. There's...
Oh, that's funny. Everything but.
I know. I was just thinking, because I was just like going through that the other day. And the owner is on the other side of me saying, it's a red leash.
Right.
I got three red leashes. Is it this one? No. Is it this one?
What this one do? Yeah, it's a thing that plagues us forever. It does.
Yeah, and the worst thing is the giving someone else the, you know, because then it's a twofold. First, you go insane looking for it.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely out of your mind looking for the damn collar and leash. And then you have to get it back from the other person.
Yes. Oh, it's awful.
It's awful. It's just such a stress factor. It's just like one of those we have heralded here on the Groom Pod. We know stress.
Yes.
We know.
Well, it's just one step short of giving the wrong dog to the wrong person, which has been done.
Dun, 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 dun. Been there, done that. That's another story.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have no idea how long we've gone, but I'm betting we're at least in an hour. So let's call this one a day. How about that?
Hey, it's been nice today, Susie.
Yes. And thanks for listening to us, you guys. Thank you so much for all of your support in every possible way. Remember to tell the vendors and sponsors and stuff that you heard it on the Groom Pod so that they know that their advertising dollars work. And happy listening, everybody. Barbara.
Susie, I don't want to go before I encourage everybody to become a Patreon donor. You know, this could make a huge difference for our future as the Groom Pod. You know, those Patreon accounts really count, and it's fun, it's easy, it's painless.
Yep, I agree.
And it will just like help keep us functioning.
Yep, keep us floating, let all the archives stay up, and of course, keep us creating new content. All right, cool. Thanks for being here, guys. Oh, by the way, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to you.
Yep, and you. Okay, guys. Yep, thanks for being here. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
I'll say, hey, I want everybody to consider becoming a Pantheon.
How about a Patreon?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Hey, I don't want to go. Wait a minute. I'm going to
do it again.